Rapiophile. Noun. One who is attracted to intelligence. Join us, fellow fun-loving lover of knowledge, as we dig into your favorite topics with our very own nerdy diatribes, words of wisdom, and takes on life as millennials. Welcome to the Sapiophiles. Welcome back, listeners. This is Chelsea.
And this is Kayla.
And we wanted to talk to you about something that, you know, is maybe kind of a polarizing topic. So today we wanted to talk to you about being politically correct. And what does that mean? What parts of it do we agree with, disagree with, and other thoughts on it? Is being politically correct the same thing as being not biased? Or is it just things that we think we're supposed to say, but people are just repressing bias? So it's an interesting balance between the two. One of the things that I was looking at when I was researching for this was there was a poll done in April of this year about how many people think that the world is too PC, how many think the world is too prejudiced, and it's super split down the middle. It was 48% think the world is too PC, 52% think it's too prejudiced. So it's really just right down the middle.
I think it's both.
Yeah, I do too.
Like, I know that that's not an option, but the world is absolutely too PC right now, and it's absolutely too prejudiced. And I think that the reason that it's both of those things are because we have nobody speaking in the middle.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I wonder if people being so much at these extremes has spilled into what's happening in the country and what's happening in the world. And, like, how did we get to this point with the government, with everything? Is it because people are so tired of being overly politically correct that they're going so far to the prejudice side? It's possible that for some people that could have weighed into it.
Yeah, and I do think that there are people who have been on the borders of both sides, and individuals who either weren't embracing as many of, I guess, what we'd call like the PC culture, or like phrases or beliefs, who kind of were pushed more towards that PC side of things because they saw so much bigotry and racism. But then I'm sure that there were other people who may not be bigots or racists, but would fall more in the category of anti-PC because people are so PC. So like, so you're just creating these individuals who like could be more centrist, could be more middle ground individuals who could really start conversations that could help, you know, communities, countries, states, the world. And instead of joining together in the conversation, they're pushing each other farther apart.
I think that's a really good point.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, you know, the world is both. I totally agree with you that it is both, that it is too PC and too prejudiced.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting how some people are so far to the ends like that. Does that mean for these people that they feel like they can't speak up about things, or that they're speaking up too much? Like, it could go either way.
Yeah, I think it could go either way. I mean,
so I know that one of the big terms that's being thrown around the PC world these days is woke. And they're like, well, are you a woke person? And it actually came out of an African-American culture from a long time ago, that term. And it just means being continually aware of social justice issues. And it was made popular during Black Lives Matter in 2014. But now it's just becoming like, well, are you woke? Are you woke? And I feel like that sometimes even just that term is used to sort of judge. I'm not sure what I feel about calling it woke, because that's almost like saying that the norm is not being aware.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I don't have a problem with using it in the broad sense, but when you take it that way, you know, it's almost as if people are saying that there's a very, very minority portion of the population that is woke and everybody else is just ignorant and living in our own little bubble of self-indulgence and bigotry and racism. You know what I mean? So maybe you have, there's a point to that, that perhaps people are using it so much now that it's making it almost as if there's an us and them type mentality.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that kind of culture feeds into, like I said, it started with, well, it started going into the mainstream. It had been around for longer than that with the Black Lives Matter movement. Yeah. But even with, we've had a lot of different like movements recently of different areas of social awareness. And I think in all of these, there have been some great steps taken, but like the All Lives Matter people, my issue with the All Lives Matter people is that of course they do. That wasn't what we were saying. So that's like saying Game of Thrones is a great TV show and somebody saying, all the HBO shows are great shows.
Right.
Well, nobody said the other one wasn't. Like, it has nothing to do, like, one has nothing to do with the other. I don't know if that was a great parallel.
It is. It's basically like someone saying purple carrots are just as nutritious as the other carrots. And then someone saying, no, all different color carrots taste good. And then it's basically like, yeah, I know, but you were insulting the purple carrots. And the purple carrots are getting, like, pissed on, pardon my language, still. And that's why we were pulling out the purple carrots. It wasn't because we don't think the other carrots are also good. It was that the other carrots were not accepting the purple carrots. Like, that's, you know, because ultimately human beings are all the same. We just have different colors of skin and backgrounds. So the Black Lives Matter movement was all about saying, like, while we're aware that all lives matter, there's a subsection of the population that still doesn't believe that Black lives matter. So we're going to make it clear that they do. Like, that was what they were doing. So to say all lives matter, it's just like, well, duh. But we're saying that there's a huge group of people who have been socially marginalized for as long as our country has, even before it was in existence. And we still need to do something about it. And it's been a long time. And it's the smudge on our nation. And come on. So, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I think one of the arguments on the other side of this is that, like, well, you know, we're not living in those times anymore. We're not living in segregation. We're not living in... And all of those are great points. You know what? We have come far, and that's fantastic. But I think the complacency and feeling like we're done with any group of people who still aren't experiencing everything to the full extent is a mistake for anyone.
Right. And like, I mean, and for people that don't realize that there's still echoes of that, that's, I mean, all the way, even after places were no longer legally segregated, there are people that, you know, whole neighborhoods were turned into Black neighborhoods because white people moved out of them. Like people tried to make something that was more of a melting pot area, and people just, like, they called it white flight. Like, people just left. Not only that, but you have, like, academia, and there's, like, a ton of whitewashing in academia, especially in academic papers. And that goes for not just the Black community, but also the Indian community. And I mean Indian as in India. Of course, Native American community, Chinese community, Japanese. So most communities that are not white.
Yeah.
So, like, yes, the big, big things that took us until the 1960s to figure out, again, I'll say 1960s, wasn't that long ago. There's still echoes from that still haven't been resolved. And for anybody that wants more information, just take a look at our prison systems too. And educational opportunities in neighborhoods. So anyways, I'm going to get off the soapbox now.
Oh, it's okay. No, and a lot of this goes back to, we did a privilege episode a while ago about, you know, if you are somebody who doesn't experience these challenges and maybe you are part of one of those minority groups, or you are somebody who, you know, is fortunate enough to know the people in these groups who have been able to succeed, the important thing to note is not that, like, there's no chance for anybody, but what does your pathway look like? Do you have, how many obstacles do you have in the way? And it doesn't mean that, you know, if your pathway was more clear, that you didn't put in a lot of effort to get from point A to point B, but someone with a different pathway might have not only had to put in that amount of effort, but also had to do other things that overcome other pieces. So it would, it's a longer path. And that's all that this means.
Right.
I think along the same lines of the Black Lives Matter thing, there was a thing earlier this year, maybe about a month ago, actually, that I felt like the people doing it didn't quite understand what they were doing. It was another erasing a particular movement type of thing.
Okay.
There was the whole let's have a straight pride parade thing.
Oh, for God's sake.
And here's the thing. You know what? Like, I'm straight. You're straight. Cool. Fortunately, I've never had anybody oppress me for that reason. There are a lot of things I felt insecure about in my life. A lot of things that whether it's self-judgment, because for me that has been a thing, whether it's self-judgment or judgment from the outside that I have thought were less than desirable qualities.
Mm-hmm.
Being straight was never one of them. And I think, you know, if for some reason you've been oppressed for being straight, you're in a very strange subset of the world. And I'm sorry that you're in that strange subset of the world. But
yeah.
The point of the Pride Parade was that, especially this year, it was the 50th year, the 50th anniversary of Stonewall. The Pride Parade, the entire point of that is that in 1969, when these people were being brutally beaten up, police brutality, attacked for who they were, they stood up and said, I'm not going to be silenced for who I am,
mm-hmm.
and this is who I am. So they never said that I'm better than you. They said, I'm not going to be silenced. And it's a very big difference. And having a straight pride parade completely undoes that entire point. And you know what? If you want to go to pride, I know lots of LGBT people and different pride events that they welcome straight people. They welcome allies. Anybody who is going to come and be supportive, they want you to be there. So it's misunderstanding the whole thing. It's not pride in the sense of we think we're better than you. It's pride in the I deserve to be able to be who I am in peace.
And to be who I am without fear.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a number of, in, of course, the 50s, 60s, 70s, of course, there were, you know, cases of people just being brutally attacked. But even throughout the 80s and 90s, when we were growing up, like, there were huge cases. And even when shows made coming out something like television series, like Dawson's Creek had an openly gay character, that was still something that was big back then in the 2000s. So,
mm-hmm.
like, if you think about how much individuals who identify as members of this group have had to go through in order to just gain acceptance and, I guess, like, a generalized, like, sense of safety in the communities that they're a part of, like, that's what they're marching for. Not because, exactly like Chelsea said, not because they're like, we're better than you. Just to say, like, we deserve to live our lives just as safely and peacefully as you do.
Yeah, so I think, you know, this goes back to what I think is going to be the point that we keep going to in this episode. Get to know these people.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's case is individual. And in this sense, you know, it seemed like you just heard the word pride and didn't get to know the story behind it. So we have a lot of this on both sides. We have a lot of people who misunderstand things and then people who do understand things but maybe push it too far. On both sides of every issue, not specifically this one.
Right.
And that's why I think it's so important to talk about these kind of issues.
Anybody that knows me or anybody that listens to this knows that I have in recent years gotten really into fitness. Into just healthy eating, making sure that, you know, of course I have snacks. And if my Aunt Lynn makes her famous cookies, I eat those. And I like indulging in like a good craft beer if I'm in Portland or something like that. But I kind of follow the everything in moderation, and that in order for my body to be healthy, but also perform physically in athletic activities, I want to fuel it with things that are good for me. I also have done some modeling for clothing companies that are very, very body positive. And I love the body positive movement. I love the idea of men and women, especially women, supporting each other and building each other up rather than tearing each other down. And I do believe that beauty can come in all different shapes and sizes, colors, races, religions, you name it. So that said, I found a shirt online that I thought was funny, and kind of epitomized my general inner monologue, self-deprecating humor, but also like just funny fitness humor. And it says, "Torn between wanting a snack and looking like one." And
Yeah, I mean, it's just like it's a cute saying on a
yeah,
t-shirt.
it's a
Yeah.
cute saying on a t-shirt. I had someone on Facebook actually like call me out and say that I was being fat phobic and all of that. When I was just in a picture with the shirt, not even hot, the shirt wasn't the main focus of the post. It was about how hot it was outside. And I ended up erasing, not erasing, but hiding her comments because A, I don't want to deal with that on a Facebook comment feed. It's my pet peeve. And B, because I had friends that I knew would defend me and I didn't want to cause a Facebook battle on a Facebook post. And I ended up writing to her privately and we resolved it and everything. But the fact of the matter is, like, people poke fun at fitness people all the time. And I've been called out for being body negative because I do Transformation Tuesday posts of when I was, not in shape and a size 16, almost 18, and versus when I am in shape and at a size 8. And I'm just like, okay, so I understand what you're saying, but why shouldn't I be proud of what I've accomplished being healthier? And at what point is your politically correct behavior making it so that you're in essence putting down someone who would be your advocate, but you're turning off someone who is your advocate simply because you don't agree with the fact that she's making healthy choices? For one person, their healthy body type and size might be an 18, and that's great, but another person might be healthy at a zero. Like, I just want people to be healthy. So that was my rant, and I still, as you can tell by the tone of my voice, I'm still really upset and bitter about it. Like, I don't get it.
Well, I think an interesting point that that brought up is the fact that what is right for one person is not necessarily right for another person. So, in terms of making these blanket politically correct descriptors or statements, it's never politically correct or correct in any way for everybody because everybody's world is different. So, your fitness part of your life is something that you do to feel empowered, to feel good about yourself, to feel healthy, and that's great. That is being body positive. But somebody else might, wear that shirt and use it as a mantra to be anorexic, which is not what you're doing at all. So everybody is different in how they interpret things, in how they experience things. So I think putting a blanket, "This is not politically correct," statement on somebody is not really listening to the individuals. And I think that's an important point to take everybody as an individual.
And I felt as though the person who was telling me that was doing to me the same as if I, looked at a person who was bigger size than me, but didn't know that this person was really into like bodybuilding or really into like hip hop and just was naturally like a bigger framed person, and calling them out for being fat when they, or not being fat, but not being healthy, simply because I didn't know the backstory of the fact that they are healthy. They go, they work out all the time, they eat healthy. That's just their frame. Like, I just, and that truly bothers me. And I think that there needs to be a marriage of self-love and the body positive movement and just health, because there is a difference on both ends of the eating spectrum where you're no longer healthy. And
Definitely.
like, I will still call you, you're still beautiful. You're the only one of you on the planet. You're a beautiful human, and you, everybody comes in different sizes, but you can be beautiful and unhealthy. And that's something that I think people aren't addressing.
And I think that this is a big hot button topic on the being politically correct, the body shaming, the fat phobia, the even the other way, like skinny shaming, that's a big thing too. You know, I really hate the whole, no thanks, I don't want dessert. Oh, what are you being anorexic? You're too skinny. Like, I hate that. I'm sorry. Maybe I just don't want dessert. And you know what? That's my right. That's your right. Anybody's right to not want dessert, just as it is their right to get dessert. Right, you can have dessert if you want, or you can refuse dessert if you want. Neither one means you are any particular thing. And I think that they're two sides of the same coin, and are actually a better way to say it is they're, it's not a spectrum of one end and the other end. It's a circle, and they're actually right next to each other.
Yes.
So, like, and this works for other groups, too.
That is a very good point. I like how you phrased that.
They are, because, like, calling somebody out for being, like, you're fat, you're unhealthy, and calling somebody out for the other reason for being, like, you're too skinny, or calling somebody out for being, like, well, you know, because you wanted to work out, you're fat shaming, or because you ate a cake, you're skinny shaming. Like, it's all the same thing. You're all shaming.
Yeah, and I think that a really good example that, you know, nobody talks about because it is the skinny shaming part of it is, don't get me wrong, I've danced like crazy to Meghan Trainor's All About That Bass before, but there's actually a line in it that says, boys like a little more booty to hold at night, which is fine, but like, I get that you're feeling empowered about your curves, but don't put down people that don't. Like, boys and girls like and love a variety of different things.
Everybody has a different thing they're into.
But nobody in the PC world right now is talking about Meghan Trainor because she's talking about someone who's thin. And like, that bothers me too, like deeply, because of the prevalence of like anorexia and bulimia, but also just the prevalence of people being, you know, living their normal lives, being, you know, a size zero, and, you know, that's just their size.
If they're healthy and like, beautiful, they're healthy. Great.
I want people to be beautiful and comfortable in their own skin and live long, happy, and healthy lives.
So, I mean, this one is a big PC topic, the body shaming. Even the idea of calling somebody like a plus-sized model. They're just a model. They're different than the underweight-looking models. That doesn't make them less beautiful or less of a model.
Right.
So why are we adding descriptors to make them a plus size model? It's just a model.
Like, you hear that a lot with like plus size dancers, plus size actresses, plus size. And it's like, no, they're just actresses and dancers and models.
Exactly.
And you also don't hear that about men.
No, you don't.
And that bothers me.
I mean,
but that's another thing.
For the most part, you don't. There are some people who do body shame men as well. And I think that, you know, things like body dysmorphia for men, because it's so not the norm, that might almost isolate them more if they're going through that. So, you know, it's hard to say that it's just one. But overall, yes, it is something that is more focused on women.
Yes.
All right. Let's do, I have a couple things here. All right. I'm going to do quick little, like, I'm going to say a PC thing.
Okay.
Tell me your thoughts on it.
Oh, man. Okay. It's like a quiz show, guys.
So some of them are things that I think are good. Some of them things I think are not so good.
Okay.
So people who get on people for saying girl when referring to somebody who is an adult, a female who's an adult.
Oh my God. Do you realize how many old ladies have called me girl? Like, So I think that if you're in a business world and you're saying that girl, then that's inappropriate. But if you're saying like, you should say woman and man, like just like you wouldn't say girl boy in the office. But I think if you're talking to like an old dude or an old woman who is, oh, you're just such a sweet girl, or you're such a sweet boy, like just lay off. Like, it's all situational. Like, just stop it. There are so many more important things in this world. If someone says that I'm a nice girl, I have no problem with it. And mainly I just go based on like, what is their sentence implying? What is their tone? If their tone is not one that's accusatory or insulting, then I'm going to assume that they're just trying to pay me a compliment. And it doesn't behoove me, nor does it help them for me to attack them. So that's how I feel.
I agree with the whole thing about the context.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it's in a setting where you're saying men, you should say women. Yeah, I agree with generally if people say that. It totally depends on the context. I wouldn't like being called girl at work.
Right, of course not.
I don't mind being called girl by an older person who doesn't mean anything by it.
Yeah, I mean, occasionally I'll say, Chels, he's a handsome man. But I've also been known to say, like, he's a hot guy or he's a hot boy. Like,
I mean, I say, I
say guy.
I don't think I say guy boy. I say guy. I don't say boy.
No, you're right. I say guy a lot. So
boy, I only say for kids.
Yeah, I say guys and gals a lot.
Yeah.
I also just use guys as a general statement for people.
Yeah, which is also technically not politically correct because it's exclusionary, but I use it all the time too. It's a regionalism thing. It's the North version of y'all. All right, so next one is kind of in a similar vein of this one. Okay. People who insist on, like, the non-gendered words, like humankind and weight person and, you know, things of that nature. Or, like, they won't say actor and actress, like, everybody's an actor.
No, especially since, you know, once someone, for example, like, if someone is trans and they transitioned, then you would just call them... If they transition from a male to female, you'd call them an actress. If they transition the other way, you'd call them an actor. I mean, unless otherwise specified, I would use actor and actress. And I think that that's...
Yeah.
And honestly,
well, it's not even just for trans. It's just in general. Like, non-gendered words.
I use that as an example.
Yeah.
I mean, I've used humankind before, but I'm more likely to say mankind. Because man, in that sense, is the... It's not... gendered in my mind when it says mankind. And I understand that of course, like, naturally it is, but, like, to me it never was. What else? I mean,
it's a thing where people are being very sensitive.
I think that if people ask me to use something, I will always use it because I always will want to make people feel comfortable. Exactly. But I feel as though if someone's attacking me for saying actor and actress and everything, that's just, like, just... You're going overboard. This is why people are getting so, like, one side and the other, because things like this are happening. That's what I think. But then again, I am just one human.
Yeah.
But.
No, I get that. And I mean, I think humankind, I'm okay with.
Yeah.
Things like calling everybody a something person instead of, like, something man. Like, that's a little bit weird.
Like what?
Wait person instead of a waiter, waitress.
Oh, come on.
And then there's other general ones, which, I mean, I get that their point is to not gender it, which I don't mind as much. Like, mail carrier, firefighter. Those I don't mind because they're not... It's not as much doing it. Or, like, flight attendant versus stewardess.
Well, yeah, but, like, I feel like those have been around for a while now.
Yeah, it's like, just, like, it's just the name.
I think I learned as a kid firefighter. I never said fireman.
Yeah.
Because, like, firefighter is the same as, like, police officer and teacher and that kind of stuff.
Right.
So those I don't mind at all. And, like, and I'm, you know, I've said humankind, and I kind of like the ring to it. It sounds nice, but I think that things can be taken to a whole nother side too far. And I think that we're balancing that delicate tightrope right now. Mm-hmm. We are.
All right. How about little person? Versus dwarf.
So
some thoughts on this, but you go first.
In my mind, a dwarf is a very specific type of little person, just like a midget is not the same as a dwarf, correct?
Yeah.
So what I don't understand is, would the entire community of little people prefer to be umbrellaed in that one phrase? Or
dwarf, midget, whatever, like, they want to call, like, the idea of calling them little people.
I don't know. I feel like, of course, I'm neither a dwarf nor a midget, but I feel like I would rather be called a dwarf than I would be a little person, because I feel like that's more of a descriptor of my body type, and little person just, it sounds like you're, like, anytime you add a little, like, when you say, like, little kid or little girl or little boy, like, there's always, like, that context to it that makes you go, ooh, like, makes me kind of cringe.
Like, you're less than. Like, yeah, you're small. Exactly.
I
mean, and not physically small, like, small, you're worth, like, worthless.
Yeah. So, For me, and again, I don't have the experience of living in these people's shoes, but for me, I would be more offended by being called a little person than a dwarf.
I agree. And again, I am not a dwarf or midget, little person, whatever you personally like to call it either. I did, however, see an interview with Peter Dinklage where he was like, "Stop calling me a little person. I'm a dwarf."
I love Peter Dinklage.
He's the best.
I also think I would just go off of, and I know people don't often like having uncomfortable conversations or questions, but I think if I were to befriend someone who, because I don't know anybody personally who is a dwarf or a midget or a little person, I'd say, what do you prefer I call you? You know what I mean?
And always just call them the most general thing you can before that. Don't refer to it, just say their name
Right,
until you know what to say.
exactly. Like,
I agree with that one.
yeah. Okay.
All right. How about this one? I don't know. It's interesting to me.
Okay.
Calling female friends girlfriends. I kind of, I don't know. I have a hard time with that one. I know a lot of people say it. It always rubs me the wrong way.
I usually just say my friends.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, if people want to say my girlfriends, like I know if they say in context, I'm going out to dinner with my girlfriends, like I know what they mean.
What if they say girlfriend?
If they say girlfriend, I'm going to assume they're a lesbian or
Exactly.
that they're date or,
Dating a woman.
dating a woman, which is fine. But that's what my brain goes to. Like if someone says, because like you don't hear a lot of guys say, I'm going out with my boyfriends. Like, you know what I mean?
It's not a thing.
Like they just say I'm going with my buddies or my guys or that kind of stuff. So for me, I'm not a fan of that just because I think that in society today there are so many ways that that can be misconstrued. And plus in my brain it automatically defaults to significant other.
Yeah.
So I mean, I just say my friends
Yeah.
because I don't particularly care if people know whether they're girls or guys and I hang out with you. Like, like it's
Yeah,
just
I mean, you might say like girls' night, but that's not saying girlfriend.
yeah, no, I like
Or like hanging with the guys.
yeah, I don't think I've ever said like I'm hanging out with all my girlfriends. I'm like, no.
Yeah, it
I
bothers
just
me.
I'll say I'm hanging out with my girls or my
My girls.
guys or I'm hanging out, it's a girls' night,
Yeah.
or I'll just say I'm hanging out with my friends. Like, or my friend, comma, insert name.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, I think saying like, "Oh, it's my girlfriend," means woman you are dating.
Yeah.
So if somebody says that who is not dating the person, if it's like, straight women who are hanging out, it confuses me, first of all, and then I feel like it almost, you know what? I mean, I don't want to speak for people who are in a community that I am not a part of. I feel like it almost is a little bit of like erasing lesbians. Like, if I can use the term girlfriend, then like, it's like taking something that's not mine to use.
Right. And I also think that it's important to note that, like, I think that, this conversation is important because not everybody, I know that it's like the thing now to say my partner or my life partner or
Significant other.
significant other, but that's not something that everybody's accustomed to using yet. So, like you said, like it is almost erasing a thing for one population if you are consistently using that in a non-romantic way.
Yeah. I mean, I don't particularly personally use those terms. I've never used like this is my partner.
Oh, not, nor have I.
I
This is
if
my
I if it's
boyfriend.
my boyfriend. It's
Yeah.
not my partner. I might maybe say significant other depending on the context, but usually it's boyfriend.
Right, yeah, it's boyfriend, and then
Fiance, husband.
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, so that one, I don't know. That's something that always kind of bothered me a little because I feel like not only does it not make sense and confuse me, I sort of take something away from a different group.
Right. I also am not a fan of significant other because I feel like,
Are your other friends insignificant?
right? Like it's like you guys are all significant. Like, come on. Anyway.
Say like my better half or something.
Ooh, my better half. I like that. Yeah.
That's cute.
That is a cute one. All right, what else you got?
All right. These are ones that I come across all the time, but they're itching to think about where they come from. Things like special needs, okay, handicapable, exceptionally abled.
Oh God. I never know what to say for these. because I feel like I grew up with handicapped. And then I think I've used differently abled. I've used a lot. I just think that this one is, I think this one is one of those that's going to take some time. People will eventually get it, kind of like the new words in the Catholic Mass. But I think people will get it. I think that it's just our generation grew up with handicapped, and I don't think that any of us assumed that that was a negative thing. It was just defining.
It's just what it is.
But I think I definitely use differently abled a lot, just as a general thing. I think that's the one I've gotten used to saying a lot in higher ed. But anyway, I'd say I'm still confused with that. I understand why they changed it, of course, but I don't. But I think I still slip up.
Yeah, I mean, being in education and with that population, special needs is very easy for me to say.
Right.
That's what I say all the time. Special needs, you know, special education, you know, all of those work. Exceptionally abled is another word that is a little bit, it means different. It's like differently able, like exception to the rule. Exceptionally able.
Oh, so exceptionally in that way that of exceptional, not exceptionally in the way of like an exceptional student. Yeah. Okay. See that one.
But it's called an exceptional student, technically speaking, is one of that nature. I mean, it could be used for anything aside from the norm, so it could be used for gifted as well. And I think they wanted it to be able to be used for both.
Okay.
But that one's a little confusing to me to roll off the tongue. I mean, I get it, but like I took a class that was called Teaching the Exceptional Child in college.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it depends on who we're talking about. I don't know that I would mind with disabilities, like person with disability.
I think that that's,
or saying a specific
that's
one.
That's a normalized word too, saying person with disability.
Yeah.
Also, Chelsea, when you were taking that class in college, I thought you were talking about how to teach like high-level AP student learners.
No.
Yeah, but that's what I thought because exceptional student in my vernacular meant.
Oh, like you saw the textbook?
Yeah. And I was something? Like, oh, she's learning how to like cater to like the honors students.
No, it was just like differently abled students.
So the more you know, see, now I learned something today.
We always learn things. I learned something today. Then it's a good day. All right. Here's one more.
Okay.
Advanced age versus senior citizen.
I didn't even know this was a thing. I say senior citizen all the time.
Yeah, I do too. But advanced age is apparently a thing because, you know, we can't call them old or whatever.
Yeah, so, okay.
I think people are aware of what their ages are, and I also think that if they are a senior citizen, they're proud of it because now they can collect Social Security.
Okay, so I always make jokes with my grandmother, and she'll say something like, well, you don't get this because you're so young, and I'm like, well, you don't get this because you're so old, and like, we make jokes and everything. My grandma's a Spitfire. She's awesome. But in any case, so going back to the first conversation, there is a huge portion of the body positive movement that's basically taking back the word fat and like saying it as like it's not a negative word that you should be able to say fat and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So in that context, shouldn't you be able to say old?
You should, I think.
By the transitive property of PC.
Actually, reappropriation of words was another thing I wanted to say in a little bit. But yeah, taking back words, reappropriation of words, like queer was a slur against mm-hmm. gay people, and the LGBT community has taken it back.
Mm-hmm.
And queer is just a general term to mean anybody in that. It's an umbrella.
Right.
So I think taking it back is a good thing. And I think that's another thing where you ask the individual person, but I don't think most people are offended by being called a senior citizen.
I don't think I've, I mean, I, because I live in a small town and because I grew up knowing my grandmother's friends and my aunt's friends, my mom's friends and everything, I'm friends with a lot of individuals who have had families two or three generations in the town. So I, you know, people like who have, you know, since passed, like Mrs. Lapointe, Mrs. Robichaud, they're people that used to go to my school plays and everything, and they never would have minded me saying senior citizen. Just like I never minded when they said, you're such a nice girl.
So this is just like a funny thing connected to this, but okay, we're so concerned about what we're calling senior citizens, whatever you want to call them, yeah, people over 65.
Yeah.
We're so concerned with that. However, the official medical term is geriatric pregnancy if you're over 35.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And as someone sort of close to 35, I mean, I'm not close to 35, I'm 31, but who, based on the way my love life is going, I will probably be over 35 when I'm pregnant. I have a little problem with that. Maybe we should have a different word for that one.
Well, not only that, but like, I'm honestly not sure what the medical term they use in Ireland or England is, but I know that, mm-hmm, like, I have friends who waited until they were 36, 37, 38, 39 to have kids. And in Ireland and England, it's literally normal. Like,
it's becoming more normal everywhere.
Yeah, a lot of my friends have commented on how early Americans get married. They're like, what are you doing getting married at 22?
And this is why the divorce rate is so high. Because when you're 22, you don't know what you're going to need when you're 30.
I can't imagine having married someone at 22, having, like, with the hindsight of knowing how much I've changed.
Yes.
Like, I have changed so much from even, like, even from 24 to 26, like, crazy amounts of change. And I just feel like I wouldn't have grown as much as an individual. And I feel like now I'm better suited to be someone's companion because I'm independent and I'm like my own person than I would have been if I had married someone, even if I loved them at 23 or 24.
Yeah.
So
this is another interesting thing, though, this whole age concept and the concept of like ageism, even within like small groups of people. I feel like a lot of people, and I've definitely done this before, will write off people younger than them at all as too young to know anything.
Right.
And I don't know that that's necessarily fair because everybody ages and grows and matures and learns differently. And I also know people who will write off anybody older than them as being, like, obsolete and outdated and not understanding anything current.
Right.
So I think that's another thing that, you know, it's not so much a PC-like term, but just a way to be aware of. I mean, I think there are different phases of life. I think that, you know, your early 20s, you just by nature, by your brain development, are very different than you are when you are an older adult. And by older adults, it could start, depending on your maturity level, it could start 23, 24.
Right.
If that's how you are. But a 20-year-old, I don't think has as much in common with a 27-year-old as, you know, somebody who is 26 has in common with a 35-year-old.
Right. And yeah, I absolutely agree. I mean, like, there's a huge shift. I think even from, like, 20 to, like, 23, 24, there's a very big shift in just, like, your goals, your desires, your needs, like, your way of thinking about the world. That's still very much in development when you're in your early 20s. Or, like, very early 20s, like, 20, 21, 22. And no, you're absolutely right. There is a big difference. Like, I think that even you could even say that like 30 and 40 have more in common than 20 and 25. And that's not saying that there's not exceptions to the rule. I mean, like, and when we say this, like, I know that my friend Meryl from college, dated her high school sweetheart. They stayed together through college. They're married. They have two kids. They're a beautiful couple, and they have known each other super well for a long time. And, you know, that kind of stuff does work out.
Yeah. There are always exceptions to everything. I think just in general, there's a different phase of life in your early
20s. Oh, yeah. Like, there's...
than there is later.
Yeah, and just, I think the both of us are just walking, talking, and in the case of you listeners, talking proof of that.
Yes.
Especially if you listen to our early episodes of just how much we've grown and self-actualization and, you know, discussions about mental health and all that, that there's a lot the two of us have gone through and grown into and all of that.
All right. So, you know, we've talked a lot today about how political correctness can sometimes be a problem where it causes almost more hatred because people just get very upset about the words. But there are some things that political correctness has done that have made it better for people, I think. So here's some things that I like about certain PC ideas, and you can tell me if you agree. All right. One thing that I like is person-first language. So instead of saying a disabled person, you say a person with disabilities.
Because then it's
or like for any
looking
descriptor.
At the person first as a human being and then looking at what, I guess, describes them secondarily.
Yeah. And it's particularly important with things that are like health problems or challenges to say it this way. So like a good example of one is like calling someone a schizophrenic.
Yeah.
You could instead say a person living with schizophrenia.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're a person. They're not, that's not what they are. It's something that they have. So I like that. I think that's a good thing to do. Again, not that you need to be down everybody's throat if they don't do it that way, but I like that.
That's, I agree.
Thing that I think is a good,
yeah, it's great.
One that we've done. Another one is I think that the politically correct way to do things is to take out descriptors that don't have to do with what you're talking about. And I think this is really important. So taking out things like black actor.
Oh, yeah.
Get rid of black. He's just an actor. Or female doctor. No, she's a doctor.
Right. No, that's so important. Yeah. Because ultimately, they're just someone doing a profession. And it shouldn't matter what race they are, what, you know, what gender they are. What their background is, what religion they practice and everything. They're just an actor, an actress, a doctor, a nurse, a teacher. So I like that.
Yes. Okay. Another one that I guess a lot of these that I found that I like are in the like health sphere. Is it's now appropriate to say died by or from instead of committed suicide.
Ooh.
And I really like that because died by means that they struggled and unfortunately lost a battle with an illness, a mental illness of some sort, whichever one caused that. Better yet, I think, would be to say died of depression, bipolar, whatever their thing was, instead of saying by suicide. But died by suicide is much better than committed suicide because it acknowledges the unfortunate causes behind that kind of challenge that somebody has. So I think that I really like that. And it's kind of along the lines of if somebody had AIDS, you never die from AIDS. You die from the secondary infections you get because your immune system can't fight. But you wouldn't say died from a head cold. You would say they died from AIDS.
Okay, so I have a lot of mixed emotions about this particular one.
Yeah, go for it.
Because I had a family member kill themselves. So for me,
I thought you might.
I don't like died from suicide. I prefer succumbed to depression or succumbed to something.
Okay.
I'd be more okay with that because it was, although the person did have a mental illness that made it difficult, sometimes impossible, to exist on the planet the way that they were. That doesn't mean that they didn't choose to end their lives. So, what was the first word you said?
Died by?
No other one.
Or committed?
I prefer that one. Because they did. They made the choice to end their life. If I prefer to say that they succumbed to depression, or I like
That one works. I
I
like that
like
one
the
too.
idea that you have behind, like, saying, talk about the mental illness, make sure people know that the mental illness is at the forefront, no matter what it was, like depression, anxiety, bipolar, schizophrenia, all of that. I think that's so important. But someone who has AIDS, they didn't choose to have AIDS, and while the person,
Well, they didn't choose to have depression
I
or
know that's what
bipolar or.
I'm saying the person didn't choose to have depression or bipolar, but they did choose to end their lives. So I think that it's still important, even in terms of making sure that people know there's another choice when it comes to suicide, that I think that making sure the language is still an active verb, not died, but another a verb that had more action, so that individuals looking at it understand that it is something that you can, like, you can choose not to do that. And it's because I know people who are unbelievably strong who fought back against things that they have no choice in having from a long time, and I know that it's a possibility. So I think it does people a disservice, especially those who have had the strength to fight against the things that they have been born with, to say that they just died of suicide, like they succumbed to depression or they committed suicide. They did that, to
Okay.
themselves and to their families. Because as a family member of someone, it does hurt your family too.
Oh, of course.
So,
And there's n
yeah.
I'm not for any reason saying that it doesn't at all. I
Yeah.
like succumbed. I That one I get because that kind of goes with both sides. Committed, I feel like, is strong because it's kind of like a very difficult under it's like under duress sort of situation in many cases.
Yeah.
But I get the argument on the other side why died by might be too weak as well. So that's interesting. It's the politically correct thing now is died by suicide, but I like your wording as well. And you're absolutely right. There are choices, and the unfortunate thing is that many people, when they get to a particular point, if the, I feel like the choices are earlier on. When you get to that last point, you're kind of out of choices. But making different choices earlier on to stop it at different points are when you really have the control. So I think that's important to keep in mind of not just like let's talk about the end, let's talk about like the entire journey, the entire health battle. And I think it's also important that you bring up that the other people who are affected. Unfortunately, I think one of the cruel things about it is that a lot of the people who end up in this unfortunate situation believe that they are making the world better by taking themselves out of it, which is horrible because they're actually not doing that and they are hurting people. I think that's what makes it so tricky, but you're absolutely right. There are a lot of people affected by it. So I like succumbed.
Yeah, I like succumbed, and I also like lost their battle with depression, or lost
Okay.
their battle, because then
I like that one too.
it shows a strength in that there was a battle, but it also it implies that of course there was a suicide or something of the like,
Yeah.
but it doesn't sugarcoat the fact that they were dealing with something that was very serious. So
Yeah.
that's the one I liked. I don't like died by suicide because,
Okay, yeah, I get that.
yeah.
It's an interesting point, and I'm glad you brought that up because I wasn't thinking in the same sense.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, unfortunately, as someone who very long time ago and very healthy now, but has had those thoughts.
Yeah. And that's why,
But you are right, made a different choice.
yeah, and that's why I like highlighting the succumb to or even like lost a battle with, because then it highlights the mental illness that that people are sometimes trying to pretend doesn't exist. And I think if more people put that at the forefront to raise awareness, it would raise awareness for the mental illness and even make people change, like maybe make people seek help if they maybe they feel like they're in the same position. And it wouldn't just be like almost like sugarcoating it. It's kind of like, I feel like saying died by is kind of like the book censorship. It's like saying they just died by suicide. And it, like I said, like it, for people that have overcome these mental illnesses, who have fought depression tooth and nail and have overcome that even when they've had those thoughts, I think like saying just someone died of suicide is doing a disservice to their bravery and their courage. And so that's just my
interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I like that you have the challenging perspective. It's really interesting. Yeah. I get what you're saying about the two different sides. I feel like on the other end, saying committed is too much taking away any responsibility from the illness.
Right.
It's making it like a crime versus a health issue.
Right.
Whereas I guess died by, I can see what you're saying is making it, because you're right, it's a delicate balance. So I like your alternative words that you chose there.
Yeah, and I think like the middle ground words really like shine a light upon the illnesses without making it a
I like lost battle with. Yeah.
Yeah,
like
without putting blame on the person or the you know the situation. So
interesting. Yeah. Because you're right. One of those puts all the blame on the illness and one of them puts all the blame on the person. Yeah. And I don't think it is either of those things.
So
interesting.
Yeah.
Cool. So, you know, just some politically correct things, and I like that the debates that we can have from those.
So I'll give you this one to lighten the mood a little bit.
I know that went a little dark.
So my Aunt Lynn, who we still need to have a Linisode.
Yes.
But I always tell her whenever Chelsea and I are doing a certain topic, and usually serendipitously she'll always find something to give me or like some insight to share, or in this case an article to share with me. So apparently in the Boston Globe, we just recently read that Macy's pulled plates with portion control labels on them recently. So I guess that there was a woman science reporter and podcast host who was taken aback by what was the design of certain plates and the plates were actually a part of a collection offered through Macy's Brick and Mortar Story, which is a retail experience where the store and its subsidiaries carry products from small businesses from 36 stores in 15 different states. So Macy's was just displaying products that were from another small business from another state. And the creator in the product was out of a company called Portions, spelled P-O-U-R-T-I-O-N-S. And it's a team of individuals who started noticing that the United States has a portion control problem. And they tried to make light of it by making plates that said things like in the middle of the plate, it says like skinny jeans and then favorite jeans and then mom jeans. You know what I mean? And there's another one that says like a foodie and then food coma. And it's supposed to be like a humorous way of telling people, like, we understand that everybody loves food, but like portion control is important.
Right.
And someone totally took offense to it and tweeted at Macy's, and Macy's automatically took the designs from their stores. And I think that like at what point is it just like, oh, for goodness sake, get a sense of humor. You know, like it's, I understand that, you know, we do live in a society of body positivity and all of that, but like our country does have a portion control problem. Like you look at any other country in the world and the amount of food that we get on our plates, like compared to like when I visited Scotland and Iceland and England and Ireland and Guatemala, like we put so much food to the point that like Chelsea and I have gone out to dinner and we've taken home food that we've like then consumed like 2 days afterward as like lunch and dinner.
Yeah.
Like that's what we're talking about. So, and that's what the company was talking about. So the company was purely trying to put a humorous spin on the fact that our country has a portion control problem. And like, at what point do you like say, like, should Macy's have actually pulled them that quickly? Should they have tried to talk about
Yeah.
why they were, you know, displaying these plates? Should they have like talked about their mission statement of the entire campaign? So I don't know. Like,
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's kind of going back to like the body image thing that we were saying early in the episode. But it's a sensitivity thing. It's, are we being too sensitive? Or are we being not sensitive enough? It's a judgment call. I think, it's kind of like a cute, funny way of saying it. I might say like maybe some of the word choices, like calling it mom jeans, like that's like implying all moms are fat. So maybe some of the word choices may be a little bit different, but like the food coma thing, like that's funny, I think. And it is an issue that people need to sort of be aware of. I kind of think it's just taking things in context, taking it in and the same question we have to keep asking the whole time. What did the person intend, and who are you talking to? Because everybody has a different thing that will offend them. And you have to kind of just be aware of that. But if you're a whole company where you're gonna talk with all different kinds of people, I mean, I think it's a little bit oversensitive.
And as a side note, I just want to mention, just so I give credit where credit's due, that this was found in the Boston Globe, but it was originally printed in the Washington Post. But that's just the journalist in me. But in any case, like, I think, like, to the point, like, when something's at this level, you know what I mean? Like, it's plates that, like, they're not saying derogatory things. You know, they're not saying, you know, they're not using racist or bigoted language. Like, at what point do you just, like, decide to just turn the other cheek and just don't buy the plates?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I
I
mean?
mean, there's definitely things in the
Like,
world that I don't like. I just don't participate.
exactly. You know, like, I don't know.
No, you have a good point.
So I thought this was perfect. Like, Lynn, of course, like, cuts this out for me and says, like, will this work for your political correctness podcast? I'm like, yeah, I think it'll do.
Yeah. Because
But
people get very offended easily by things.
yeah, and I think that, again, I probably sound like I'm beating a dead horse, which I would never literally do because I love horses. But yeah, beating a dead horse here, but I think that it's important to note that, like, when things like this happen, like, of course, when this one person taught, like, tweeted Macy's and Macy's took the designs out, then there were a bunch of other tweets that were just like, are you kidding me? What's going on? Are you serious? You caved that quickly? Like, this just proves to, like, polarize our country even more than it is. And with in the world of social media, like Chelsea mentioned before, it's just there, it's so easy to make everybody seem like it's us versus them.
Yeah.
And while Chelsea mentioned
And that magnifies it.
a number of really good things that have come out of the of PC oriented movements, which is like there are so many. So I'm not knocking, you know, politically correct movements that have helped to affect change in really positive ways throughout the years and in our recent history. But at what point do we just say, oh my God, enough? Like,
Yeah.
you know what I mean?
It's a judgment call.
Yeah.
And I think that it's something that people have to all consider for their own beliefs and for who they're talking to. And again, learn. Just keep learning. Keep learning more about people. Yeah, so a couple things that popped into my head
Okay.
for things that, either have been talked about with PC and everything that are kind of lighter that I think are fun are the whole thing with the Christmas songs. Have you seen
Oh
those?
my God.
Okay, so this is where I think PC gets a little extreme. So it's like, little drummer boy, but what if there was a girl? But there wasn't, it was a boy. And like, well, I saw like a funny meme that was like, or a GIF or something. It was like, I don't know, it was a list of things. And it was like things that people think about Christmas songs. And the first few were like things that people actually say, like stuff like that. And like I get some of them, like Santa baby consumerism, and like overusing like sexual wiles or whatever to get objects. So I understand that one. So things like that. But then there was things like, oh well, is do you hear what I hear offensive to the deaf community?
Oh, for God's sakes.
And like, really? And
But
then.
even like, sorry to interrupt, but even Santa Baby, it's like Santa Baby was never pretending to be anything other than like a consumerism song. Like, it's not like it marketed
I
as
know.
like being wholesome. It's like,
Yeah.
come on, like, of course that's what it is. Like, that's what it's trying to be. And like, seriously, just like find a hobby, people. Find a hobby. It's like, it's.
Another big one was White Christmas.
Oh, for God's sakes, that one. I'm like, it's about
It's
snow.
snow.
It's about snow.
It's
They literally in the movie have an entire four-part harmony song about snow on a train. Like, it's about snow. Like, it's about this
100%.
poor little Vermont, like, hotel place that is going out of business. And they're not getting a lot of business because it hasn't really snowed, and they're dreaming of a white Christmas so they can get business. It's not that difficult to grasp, people. Look it up.
There's a fantastic spoken word poem. I don't know if you've heard it.
I don't believe I have because I don't know exactly what you're referencing, and I
Okay.
feel like
It's called Somewhere in America, I believe.
Yeah.
And it kind of hits on all these topics. It's a very like controversial political spoken word poem that three teenage girls made probably 5 years ago. Something like that,
Ooh,
and
I
it's
do
been
know
it went
this.
viral. It went viral, and
Yes.
it has a lot of like really great lines about like how hypocritical some of this political correctness is. And a couple lines that stick out in my mind, and I might be misquoting. I'm not sure what the exact lines in the poetry were, but you know, they were like, well, somewhere in America, there's a kid who has never read To Kill a Mockingbird because someone took it off the shelf for its use of language. And then there was a line that's like, well, God forbid I bring my girlfriend to prom. So it was like all kinds of things that were I can't remember all of the words, and you know, I'll add a link to it. But it was a really great spoken word poem, and it kind of reminds me of this conversation.
No, now that you mention a few of the lines, or like even paraphrasing, I know what you're talking about, and it's so moving. And it really is the poetic manifestation of like what it means to really think about something from an individual and historic perspective and really look at it like how much do we lose when we don't have children read To Kill a Mockingbird? How much do we lose when we don't have when children don't have the opportunity, or children or young adults don't have the opportunity to take their girlfriends to prom. You know, like how much is lost when we don't keep an open mind and keep a, I don't want to say forgiving, but just like understand that,
Humbled
yeah,
understanding.
humbled and maybe just compassionate, maybe is what I'm looking for. Like looking around and treating the world and everybody in it with compassion. And that means treating people with compassion who you don't necessarily agree with or like, too. As long as they're not directly attacking you or, you know, someone. Again, go back to the footnote from earlier in the podcast. But yeah.
Yes. All right. Any last thoughts on political correctness? We've had a lot of thoughts today. We've kind of run all over the place with debates, and I like when we get these episodes where it just kind of makes you think. Yeah, any last thoughts before we wrap up?
Not necessarily, except that if any of you have been listening to this and you've been furiously taking notes or making mental notes and there's something you really want to say, please let us know because this is a podcast called The Sapiophiles for a reason. So we do want to hear your insights and we do want to understand where you're coming from and hear what you have to say. So as always, please feel free to contact us because that would be A, enjoyable for us because we love meeting new friends, and B, insightful for us because we love learning new things.
Yes. Yeah, and you know, if there are things that we think are good ways of saying something that you don't like, or you have a different opinion on some of these that you would like to share, maybe you're a member of one of these groups that some of these terms refer to, let us know, because we always want to learn. And I think the takeaway from this episode is, if you're not sure how to say something, just keep learning about the different people and take those people as they are. So,
yeah. Exactly.
All right. It's been an interesting one.
I know. This is crazy. Crazy, man.
I like it.
Or should I say women?
People.
People. Friend.
Humankind.
Humankind. Yes.
All right.
Now we're just being humorous.
it's like late and we're not sure what we're doing.
I'm like, area, okay. Some erudite humor there for you. some throwback humor. But anyways, thank you all so much for listening. As always, if you have any topics that you'd like us to discuss, always let us know. If not, we will always be able to brainstorm something to share with all of you, because we have a thirst for learning and we always want to talk about things.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right. Have a great week.
Have a wonderful week, everybody. And if you're in one of those areas that has a heat wave, stay cool out there.
Thanks for joining us this week. And be sure to check back later in the week for part two of this episode, where we dig further into political correctness over time in historical context. You don't want to miss it. If you would like to join our conversation or tell us a little about you, request a topic, you can always reach us at sapiofilespodcast@gmail.com, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, iTunes Store, or any app that you use to listen to this podcast. Have a fantastic week, and as always, stay curious.